You're listening to The Pod Couple, where John Imasodi and Barbara Lippert debate all things media culture.
The famous department store founder, John Wanamaker, once said,
"Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. Trouble is, I don't know which half."
We do. We're Epsilon. And we use data in a way no other agency does or can. Which is why we can say, we see what others don't. Learn more at Epsilon.com.
Hello, and welcome back to The Pod Couple. I'm Barbara Lippert in New York.
And I'm John Imasodi in Chicago.
Hey, John.
Hi, Barbara.
Our topic this time is activist advertising pros and cons.
Interesting.
And, you know, just seems to be something we can mine forever, right? Because there are constantly new campaigns.
Well, yeah. I mean, first, maybe for me, what is activist advertising? How do you define it?
Well, I guess it's, you know, it's taking on an issue and putting your brand behind it. Mm. And there are many ways to do that that are both, you know, kind of authentic and that are just stunty.
Right.
But it's interesting because last week I read about GSD&M doing this campaign called Taking a Seat, Making a Stand, and the hashtag is IP with LGBT. And it was about, you know, trans people being able to choose the bathroom they wanted. And it's directed by Richard Linkletter, and I love his work, but this is definitely not his best work. And for my money, I could live without seeing a person sitting on a toilet talking in a commercial forever. So they had a lot of people in the bathroom sitting on the toilet doing that, but, you know, taking the stand. And I thought, I don't know, that's a little bit out there. I'm not sure what they're doing. And then the ruling came down this week, you know, that Trump is going to reverse the Obama move and take it to the states to decide. And I thought, wow, that's really important. It's great that they're putting their weight behind that. And maybe I should look at the commercial again and maybe it would have more meaning.
Mm-hmm. And that was it put out by the agency? I mean,
well, it's put out by the agency and it's just going to run on targeted digital Facebook buys. And it's, you know, it's supposed to be funny, a funny video. To reach out to the Texas legislators to say, you know, we don't want to be another North Carolina.
Uh-huh. Okay, so you actually think you're pro what they were doing there.
Yes. Yeah, I thought it was, you know, sort of a little over the top when I first saw it, and now I'm seeing, you know, I'm seeing it in perspective that this is definitely necessary to take these things on and speak out.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I would be, you know, I haven't seen it in complete honesty. I sometimes question whether some things like that are, again, we've used the term before, you're just preaching to the converted. I don't know if things like that really talk to anybody except people who are pro that thought anyway.
I think with, you know, with this new news, you know, putting kids at risk in schools who can't use the right bathroom, I think people have new sensitivity to it.
But does that, I mean, again, I haven't seen it. Does that commercial really show kids at risk in schools or is it just
No. But right. It does, you know, does sort of humanize the whole issue and put it front and center.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, this is obviously a hot button topic. I mean, I think there's like different types of what I would call activist advertising, some that's effective, some which aren't.
What's your favorite?
Well, I like things like, I would consider Dawn dishwashing detergent.
That is so funny because I have the same thing down. I mean, it's just such a natural, great thing that they do, and it's real, and it's authentic. It's true.
Well, it's not something that anybody is going to too quickly say, I'm very opposed to washing ducks that got caught in oil spills.
Slicks.
It's probably a pretty universally considered good thing. I think the tonality's right. I would look at the Kia commercial with Melissa McCarthy that was on Super Bowl that basically talked about, you know, being environmental. This is a really good thing. I mean, to be environmentally friendly.
Well, I thought the Kia commercial was like anti-environmental, actually making fun of environmentalists, but saying, you know, you can do your own tiny little part here.
I thought it was just tonality. The tonality was perfect, that it seemed like you don't always have to be, you know, high and mighty to do your part for the environment. I mean, to drive a car that is more environmentally friendly is good. It's no different than using proper bags. At any rate, it didn't have a soapbox approach. I think sometimes when you get into advertising that has a soapbox approach, I'm not sure it, that's the kind of stuff that I say is preaching to the converted a lot of times.
Well, the best soapbox approach, as you mentioned, is the soap of dawn, because, you know, these bird centers, you know, that save birds from, you know, heavy oil spills, all use them. P&G donates a ton of dawn to them. And it's the only thing that, you know, they say effectively removes the grease and doesn't harm the little birds. And I could watch little ducklings, you know, getting squeaky clean and flying away, you know, forever.
And so
it's an actual thing. They didn't make it up to get attention.
Right.
You know, it actually started with the 1989 Exxon Valdez disaster. And they donate tons of it to bird rescue centers all over the world. So it's just a win-win. The only thing is, true activist environmentalists say, well, Dawn actually has petroleum in it, you know, a tiny amount.
Well,
if you're going to get uber, you know, pure about it.
If you go to extremist on any side, I mean, any activist thing could be open up for a zillion things. I mean, you know.
But I think everybody sees it as, you know, a win-win.
Right. Maybe, you know, let's contrast that against another ad that could be considered activist advertising. And it's interesting. It's debatable on whose side it's the activism's on. The 84 lumber spot that ran on Super Bowl, that was definitely seen as activist advertising. And what's interesting is people on both sides of the immigration issue can see their side in it.
Exactly. It's like Rashomon.
Right. So that's, I don't know if that's a tribute to the writing on that. I mean, is it either very deft writing?
And I just thought it was very weird that Fox wouldn't allow it to run because it was too political, because the ending, I thought, was clearly, like, pro-Trump.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting thing about activist advertising, then.
Yeah.
If you're writing something like that, do you write it so that people don't know what side you're really on?
Yeah.
Or do you write it strongly enough so that the point is very clear what side you're on? I mean, that's...
Right. I think the point wasn't clear there at all, but everybody was struck by the level of, you know, cinematography and, mm-hmm. you know, the beauty of the relationship between the daughter and the mother. And so surprised by taking that point of view when you don't link it at all to a lumber company to begin with. And then you do start seeing that, you know, so many immigrants have jobs in construction. And
do you think then that that was a good ad for 84 Lumber, a bad ad, an indifferent ad? What's your...
Well, I think, you know, I think they spent a fortune and came out of nowhere and people were talking about nothing else for a week. So from that point of view, it was a good ad. But I do think, you know, they are... I think the ad director is a Trump voter.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I just think it is, I mean, I think they were trying to speak to their own employees, many of whom are immigrants, but I think it's such a mixed message that it got, that it was a strange, in the end, I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
What do you think?
I don't know. I'm like actually a bit confused by it, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I come out. I mean, well, it'll take some time on something like that to see if it, again, was an effective ad for them as a business. I don't really know right now. I mean, that's something that might take a little bit of time.
Yeah, and it certainly was, you know, like this, you know, this personal story, this personal journey, which is, you know, if you can ever personalize it and make it emotional, that's the thing to do, I guess.
You know, a different... It's kind of in the same area. We might call it activist advertising. I'd be interested in your point. And this is going to be hard because you have to separate yourself completely from the politics on this.
Right.
But Goodby had created an ad that ran a lot during the campaign cycle. I think they even used it at the DNC. But it was kids watching TV and seeing all these abhorrent things that Trump had said. You know, they're watching it and the messaging and all this stuff. And it basically called into question, you know, is this the character of somebody that should hold this office or whatever. And, you know, my feeling is everyone at the DNC had thought they hit a home run. It was seen as kind of a home run ad for them. Yet, when all was said and done, this message clearly didn't resonate with enough people to turn it around, if you will.
Absolutely. This is one of Hillary's biggest problems in her ads, that she just ran ads that used these, you know, these offensive things that Trump said. And in the end, nobody cared. It didn't work.
Right.
You know, when he ran as when he was facing 10 or 12 other Republicans, almost all of them used his own words against him because they thought it was so outrageous. You know,
right.
People would never, you know, would see how outrageous it is and change their votes. So he went through this whole pile of 11 people he was running against and won. And then Hillary did it nonstop. Rather than, you know, taking a point of view about what she was going to do and what her policies were,
right.
Which is what people needed to hear. Because for whatever reason, no one cared when they repeated what he said.
Well, again, I'd go back to what I say a lot of times about certain types of advertising. When you get soapboxy, are you just preaching to the converted? Are you just talking to the people that are already on your side?
I didn't think it was soapboxy, but I just think it was just some weird quirk that people, you know, who wanted to hear what they heard, and they thought it was, you know, he's saying it like it is, and he's an authentic voice, and he, you know, he doesn't pussyfoot around, to use that word.
I didn't think that anybody who was on the fence or, you know, leaning one way or another, I didn't think that ad was going to sway anybody. I thought that was very just aimed.
I agree.
And it also had one other thing that I thought was very strange about it for modern times. It had all the kids sitting around watching the messaging come from television. And that's kind of old school thinking. That isn't where a lot of messaging comes from.
That is true. They would be holding, you know, their phones and their laptops.
Right.
And their,
right.
Yeah. But so. I had, there was another ad that ran during the Grammys that I thought was, again, you mentioned that the tone has to be right. And I thought that it struck the perfect tone, the Starbucks ad.
Right.
It wasn't heavy-handed, but in a very engaging and visual way, it mentioned all the good they've done in hiring veterans, in sending baristas to college,
right.
In making sure the coffee is ethically sourced. And it ended with thanking the customers and saying, be good to each other.
Right.
And so, you know, you can't have a problem with that kind of message. And it's true. They're just stating what the company has done. And it's a company that's known for its values.
That is an interesting ad. And again, that maybe kind of illustrates what happens now with activism and brands. That seemed to be a bit of a reaction to when there was an immigration ban. Starbucks announced that they were going to hire 10 or 15,000 immigrants. That seemed like a good thing to them. But then people came back at them with like, well, what about hiring veterans? You know, are you discounting veterans and people like that? So I think which then led to the ad that you're discussing. Interesting story. At any rate, an interesting topic for this week to talk about. We'll see what continues to happen in this field. Speaking of other hot things, what's the thing you're really liking this week? What's really appealing
to you?
Well,
you know, this is sort of, it's been around for a while, but, you know, Jackie, to see it from her perspective, you know, I never thought about it this way, but like she had just lost a baby 3 months before Dallas. Then she's sitting there with, you know, her husband's brains and blood on her suit. And then she has a week when she gets back to plan the entire funeral, give her son a 3-year-old birthday party, and move out of the White House. And it shows, you know, just those like 7 days in this phantasmagoria of smoke and, you know, pills that she popped, and just, you know, how much she knew about history, how she knew that it was really important to give him a fitting memorial and one that stood the test of time, because presidents become like fathers of the country. So just from that point of view alone, I would recommend it.
All right. My hot thing for this week, I'm going to just completely go to a different area. There's a magazine I really like out there called The Rake. It's a men's fashion magazine, but it's really old school. It's published 4 times a year. It's pretty expensive. It's on very high quality paper stock, comes out of England, really kind of goes through the best of the best things that are out there and really focuses on very handcrafted, traditional type things, but and interviews with designers and makers of fashion and stuff that are kind of old school. Sometimes
kind of like, you know, handmade shoes kind of thing.
Exactly. There's a lot of stuff on that. And it's really interesting. And I really like that it isn't even available online. Part of it is you have to experience the tactile thing of holding this high quality paper.
Mm, love that.
Yeah, with great photos and stuff. And I don't expect a lot of people out there to buy it. But if you hear of it, take a peek at it. It's really cool. And I just, again, I like certain things of great quality that are made the old school way. So
yeah, I hope they succeed. Just out of curiosity, how much does an issue cost? Do you know?
I subscribe to it, but I think I want to say it might even be around $15 US, four times a year. So not cheap for a magazine, but probably worth it to me when all said and done.
Yeah, I hope they make it.
Anyway, well, great discussion with you this week on activism in advertising, and look forward to doing more of these talks in the future.
Yes, John. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Barbara. Talk soon.
Bye-bye.
For more Pod Couple, you can subscribe on iTunes. You can find us on YouTube. We're on Twitter at Pod Couple and on Facebook. And we have a website, thepodcouple.com.
The Pod Couple is media experts John Imasodi and Barbara Lippert, produced by Eon Content Labs and brought to you by Epsilon. We see what others don't. All comments, discussions, materials, and information provided by participants in the Pod Couple are strictly their own opinion and do not constitute any official position or views of Epsilon. Please refer to our terms of use for more information.